The sermon this morning is going to be looking at Jesus as he says goodbye to the disciples, as he comes back from the dead and prepares them for their mission in life. And I wanted to read to you from 1 John chapter 1, which is about Jesus' coming back and the solidity of his body, the fact that his body was real and that they could touch and have fellowship with him and enjoy his time with them. And this is what it says, 1 John 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. We thank God for his word to us." Kath, would you come and read to us, please?
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 36, and it's titled, "Jesus Appears to the Disciples." While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Father, as we look at your word, may you open it up to us as you did to the disciples, and that we might learn from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever feel weak and powerless as a Christian? Ever feel like you're a bit of a failure and not a very good Christian at all? Well, if you do, then you're in good company, because the disciples felt that way. And as we read there, they were in hiding. They were in a locked room, scared for what was going to happen, scared for what was going to happen to them because of what had happened to Jesus. Would they still themselves be taken and thrown into prison or crucified? They felt that they were powerless and weak. they had in their own opinions failed. You ever felt like that? I know I have. In fact, I would say that I would distrust anybody who says they've never felt like that. Because if you've never failed at being a Christian, then I wonder if you've ever tried. Because this verses, these verses, this story here, is about God coming to the disciples, the ones who had seen Jesus face to face, and he restored them and gave them courage and transformed them. Jesus didn't go straight into heaven after he was resurrected. He had an important 40 days to mission to encourage and instruct the disciples. So what does happen? Well, first of all, Jesus came back, and when he appears to the disciples, he is absolutely great. He doesn't have a go at them for deserting him. He doesn't criticize them at all. Remember that they had all fled for their lives and denied him, like Peter, but Jesus loved them and he forgave them. He doesn't treat them as they deserve. He is full of graciousness. Not a single criticism. Instead, he says, "Peace be with you. Shalom." Now that word shalom means wholeness. May wholeness be with you. May you be complete in the peace of God. You know, we beat ourselves up so often about how we fail. Times when we haven't spoken when we should have done. Times when we've spoken out of turn and we should have kept quiet. Times when we have said the wrong thing. And we beat ourselves up because we're weak Christians. But God would love us and he would have us know that wherever we have done in the past, tomorrow is a new start with him. New mercies are new every morning, says the Old Testament. In God's eyes, we are precious and cherished. God is gracious and forgives our weaknesses. Just think of the graciousness of Christ to the disciples and remember that that same graciousness applies to us. That we can have that same forgiveness from him for every time we fail. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus' new body has new powers too. And he appears at will. On the road to Emmaus, we read 2 weeks ago that Jesus suddenly disappears. Now he suddenly appears through locked doors. Nothing like this had happened before the crucifixion and resurrection. Yet he bore the scars of his torture. Now you think that the disciples would be thrilled. Instead they are afraid, even terrified, believing Jesus to be a ghost. They were so fearful about their failure that they couldn't believe in a resurrected Saviour. Jesus' body had this new gift and its new abilities, and they couldn't see beyond their own fear and their own failure, and they were paralyzed by it. And sometimes I think we're the same. I think sometimes we get so caught up with our own failure and our own inability to be good Christians that we take our eyes off Jesus and we don't see him for who he really is. The one who loves us and cares for us. Jesus was no ghost. His body was real. The next thing he did was to calm them, was to show him his wounded hands and feet. Psalm 22 verse 16 says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." This was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And he assures them that he is not a ghost. Songwriters sometimes mention his scars, but the record says nothing about scars. They talk about the prints of Calvary, the actual demonstration that Christ had died upon the cross and that they are still there in Revelation 5, 6, verses 9 and 12 in chapter 5 as well. Talk about the marks of the crucifixion upon him. It's been well said that the only work of man now in heaven is the marks of Calvary upon our exalted Saviour. This amazing resurrected body seems to be our destiny too. Let me read these verses again from John 3 verses 1 John. It's not the same. 1 John 3 verse 1. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that we did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What wonderful words. We're going to have a new body, a new creation, a new being. We're going to be like him. We'll be capable of new things and new abilities, to be able to walk through walls, to be able to walk through locked doors. These things are just a taste of what a resurrected body is. How exciting. We're not going to be like we are now. We're going to have new bodies that are going to be eternal and are going to be forever unperishable. That's the excitement. But Jesus also came to command the disciples. One was to show the disciples that he had risen from the dead, but the second thing was to command the disciples. And there was a purpose for the resurrection of Jesus, which was to prove that he was alive and to give instruction to the disciples. So Jesus gave them the understanding of the law and the prophets and the Psalms. He reminded them of what he had taught them and explained how it all fit together. And they began to understand the necessity for his suffering and death. We were led very capably by Robin earlier in prayer and talked there about the mystery of suffering. Well, here the mystery of Jesus' suffering was unveiled. It was unpacked and it was explained to the disciples. And they begin to understand the necessity for his suffering and death. How the cross related to the promise of the kingdom. What a privilege to listen to Jesus explaining the Bible. We're going to have a Bible study on Wednesday night. And it's not going to be the same, I'm afraid. I wish it was. It's going to be me instead. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit opened their minds and Jesus himself taught them from the Old Testament and had instructed them on how to live. And what was his instruction? To take the gospel into all the world. The gospel being that Jesus has risen and there is forgiveness and righteousness for all. That's the message that we have for the world today, that Christ is risen and there is forgiveness and righteousness for all. That's the message that space has for the children that are going to come to that group. That's the message we have for the world that will not listen to the gospel, that Jesus is risen and forgiveness and righteousness for all. We take it to our front lines. We take it to our ability to go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the good news. And the last thing that Jesus did was he promised the Holy Spirit. He said that to do this preaching of the gospel is not so do so alone. We will not be powerless. We have a counselor that is the Holy Spirit. We have a counselor that will draw close to us and empower us. A companion that gives us power to love and to care. The disciples were told they received the Holy Spirit in a deeper way than they experienced before. This new blessing was an equipping to preach the gospel and to proclaim the gospel. It wasn't about becoming Christians, not coming to faith. They were already believers. But it was a filling that enabled the disciples. Here they were, locked away in a room upstairs, out of the way, hiding from the Romans. And yet within a few weeks' time, they were out proclaiming the gospel with such power and such authority that thousands came to faith in that time. How Jesus could work through us if we were willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit and equipped in such a powerful way. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit enables us to do these things. And then Jesus returns to heaven. Verses 13 to 53 that we are in this gospel represent a telescoping of the events of Acts 1 verse 3. Reports of Jesus made post-resurrection appearances over 40 days before ascending to heaven. And the triumph of Jesus is now crowned by this wonderful truth. He ascended to heaven to be at the right hand of God. So what? What does that mean for us, that Jesus ascended to heaven? It says that now he prays for us. And again, what a mystery. What an amazing truth that we can barely grasp and probably can't fully grasp what means. Romans 8 verse 34 says, then who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. If you feel weak and useless this morning, Jesus is praying for you. And he's praying to the Father, equip these people with the Holy Spirit, Father, that they might be bold in their proclamation of the gospel. Jesus now reigns in heaven and we wait for his return. We may not fully understand all these truths and we may not fully be able to take on board the comfort that these bring. But we are not alone. We are not powerless. Jesus is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is empowering us and the Father is loving us. As Christians, we are not judges or prosecuting attorneys sent to condemn the world. We are witnesses who point to Jesus Christ and tell lost sinners how to be saved. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, help us in our weakness. Help us in our failure. Help us to be stronger and to be equipped by your Holy Spirit to be powerful in the presentation of the gospel to our friends and neighbours. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't mean we have to preach on the street corners or go knocking door to door, but it does mean that we have to be witnesses to you, witnesses to your great resurrection and ascension to heaven, to say that we know the risen Lord Jesus Christ, to say that we know the power of his Holy Spirit within us, to know as well that the Father loves us and cares for us and cherishes us. These things stop us from being weak and useless and instead empower us to be something special for him. Lord, thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.